What happens when we start to veer? To wander? To allow our freedom to take us somewhere we didn't intend to go? Will we lose the road? Or is there a way to find it again?
Well, good morning. Whether you are here in person or listening to our podcast or maybe checking us out online, we are so incredibly excited that you are here with us this morning as we dive into part two of this four-part series we are working through called Rumble Strip, a series that revolves around this hard-to-swallow truth, that as we move through this highway called life, it is so easy for us to get off track. In our lives, as we move through day after day, we find ourselves naturally drifting, naturally finding our way off course. And a slow drift always leads to the ditch. And in our lives, as we look back on our past and our history, and we see the moments of our lives that are filled with mistakes and regrets in which we have ended up in the proverbial ditches, what we are forced to admit is this. We don't want to go back there again. That the crash wasn't very much fun. And yet, in light of that truth, the question that we often fail to ask is this: am I doing anything to keep that from happening again? What parameters am I putting in place to ensure that I don't drift off the road into the ditches of life again in my future? That in our lives, what we fail to acknowledge is that we always drift in the wrong direction. As we kicked off the series last week, we acknowledged this fact that you never hear stories of people who are like, man, I fell asleep at the wheel in the last 30 miles of the trip. I just drifted naturally home and I ended up in my garage. I have no idea how I got there. It just doesn't work that way behind the wheel of our car, and it doesn't work that way in our lives. That in our lives, without the correct parameters in place, we always drift into places we were never meant to go. We always find ourselves traveling on roads we weren't designed to travel on. And sometimes we find ourselves going places because we simply can't resist it. Many years ago, I look back and Krista and I moved into our very first apartment. And we still look back on that very first apartment of our marriage with such fond memories. And for many of you, you know what I'm talking about. It was like this tiny little apartment, but it was like the greatest place we've lived in up until this point of our lives. Because there's just something nostalgic about that first place that you move into together. And we still look back on that place and we deem it up until the point that we got to move back to our hometown and buy our very first house, buy our dream home. We still attest that that was our favorite place of all time to live, with our landlord, a little old lady named Jean, who would like hear the sink getting messed up and the garbage disposal through the wall. And she'd come knock on the door like, I'll help you fix it. And she'd crawl under our sink and she'd reach her hand down into the garbage disposal, and she was just the sweetest thing ever. And we fell in love with that very first place. But then there was a greater love that stepped into our life that forced where we lived to change. And that was a little furball chocolate lab named Sully. And as many of y'all know, the places that you fall in love with that you are renting often must change when a pet is introduced into your life. And that very first apartment of ours did not allow pets. And so we had to move out of that place so that we could have Sully with us at home. And I still remember to this day, it's amazing how at 25, 26 years old, you can already accumulate so many things. And we had so much stuff in this little dinky apartment that we decided to rent the 26-foot U-Haul. And if you've ever rented the 26-foot U-Haul before, you know that it has to be equipped to carry so much weight in the back that it's lifted off the ground. And when you open the driver's door, it's like at head level, like you have to go up two seats to get up into that driver's seat, and we look back on those days, and we had loaded everything into the truck, and Sully was kind of my baby. He's my boy, and we will always attest to, I shouldn't be doing this from stage, but we will always attest to, he was like our first child, our first love. And because of that, I got the bright idea that as soon as we packed everything up, that my boy, Sully Bear, was going to ride in the cab of the 26-foot U-Haul with me. And so I picked him up. He was only like 8 or 9 months old at this point. I picked him up and lifted him up into the cab of the U-Haul. And I remembered at that moment, before we got going, I forgot to lock the front door of the place that we were moving out of. And so I hopped out of the cab and just ran up to the door, and I had left the door of the U-Haul open. And as soon as I got out of the cab and ran to the door, Sully got the bright idea, Dad's not in the car anymore. Where did he go? I want to check out what's going on. And he got the bright idea that he was going to jump out of the U-Haul. And his little 8 or 9 month old puppy legs were not strong enough for the leap that he was about to make. And we still remember to this day, he jumped out of that U-Haul from the seat, and his little legs gave out beneath of him, and he just went skidding across the ground. So much so that around the bottom of his muzzle and across the sides of his face, he had road rash, like we were getting Neosporin and like putting it on our dog's road rash that he had skidded across the ground. And as I look back at that moment and the harm and the hurt that my poor Sully went through in those moments, all of that could have been avoided with one simple step. And that one simple step was if Dad would have shut the door, right? And you see, the reality is so often in our lives, we walk through our lives with the belief that we can go through life without having to shut the doors. That we don't need any parameters in our life to hold us in or to hold us back. But what all of us know far too often is that we live a life on this earth that is full of drastic twists and turns, where there will come moments along this journey in which the twists and turns are so sharp that we can't help but go flying out of the truck. Or there will come moments in our lives where we get the bright idea that jumping out would be the fun move, and we can handle it, when all along what we fail to recognize is that our little legs aren't strong enough for that big of a jump. And it all could have been avoided if we just would have shut the door. It all could have been avoided if we just would have had parameters in our life that would have kept us from going to places we were never meant to go. And here's the good news, is that you and I have a God who knew that this life was going to be difficult. You and I have a God who loves us so much, regardless of your background, regardless of your history. And maybe you're sitting here this morning, or maybe you're watching online, and you have this one thought running through your mind. I'm not so sure if I feel comfortable with walking into a church. And the reason is because I'm not sure that I'm good enough. I'm not sure that I have my act together enough. I'm not sure that I would fit in there, because if you saw my history and my past, you would know that I'm not worthy of having anything better. And this morning, maybe the most fitting place to start is this, is for us to stop believing that myth, is that we have a God who looks us in the eye in spite of our past and speaks this over us. I want your future from this point forward to be exceptional. I want you to have a rich and satisfying life. And maybe you should give that place called CORE a try, because they don't have it all together there either. Because none of them are good enough. Have you seen the dude they allow to walk up on the stage every week and talk? If you've seen that guy, you would know you'll fit right in here. You see, we have a God who wants us to experience a better life from this point forward. But he also knows that in order for us to do that, it is best done when we stay on the road. That our lives are best lived when they're not lived in the ditch. And the reality is the best way for us to keep ourselves on the road is early detection. It's for us to know when we're about to go off the road. Because what we all know from driving is this, right? It is far better to know you're about to go off the road before you actually go off the road. Am I right? that in our lives, staying on the road is the best possible path. And in order for us to do that, we have a God that gives us rumble strips to ensure that that happens. Gives us parameters in our lives that helps us stay between the lines and live the best possible life. But he doesn't force those parameters on us. He allows us to choose for ourselves whether or not we want them, whether or not we want to adhere to them in our lives. And what he does is he gives us those parameters time and time again in this love letter that he has written to you and I. He gives us those rumble strips that he has put into place for our lives, for this world, for our marriages, for our finances, for our parenting. And he gives us the choice of whether or not we want to implement them. And what we said last week is that every week of this series, we're going to come back to one of those such instances in which God gives us these rumble strips and gives us the choice of whether or not we want to put them into practice. And we find this one such passage as the theme of this series in the book of Ephesians. It's actually a letter that a guy named Paul writes to a local church, much like this one, that finds itself smack dab in the middle of a Roman city called Ephesus. And what we know about Ephesus, for just the 10-second backstory, is Ephesus was the crowning jewel of the Roman Empire. It was the place in which they put one of the seven ancient wonders of the world. The Temple of Artemis was built right smack dab in the middle of Ephesus, twice the size of the Parthenon. They put it right there in Ephesus. And from this place, a local church following this guy named Jesus, who went and died on a cross and then rose again, began to blossom and grow. And Paul writes this letter directly to them. And he writes this letter that just absolutely blows my mind. It's so incredible. We shared this last week, but it's too good not to come back and give you a short snippet of review. Paul writes this letter to the church in Ephesus that actually has two parts. The first part of this letter is the blessing. And the second part of this letter is the behavior. And here's why this absolutely blows my mind, and this is so cool. Like, if you leave with nothing else today, I promise you this will rock your world. As Paul wrote it this way, Paul was directly addressing the way in which we as humanity view religion and Christianity. Do you know the typical way that we view religion and Christianity? It's through this lens, that I must get my behavior right before I receive the blessing. That the way in which I behave and the things in which I do determine whether or not God gives me the blessing. And Paul writes this letter with the blessing first and the behavior second to make this point known. When God sent his son to this earth, he rewrote the agreement between us and him. And it was no longer a religion that was based upon the behavior comes first and it dictates the blessing. No, it was that God loves you so much that he offered you the blessing first. And the blessing is so incredible that now the blessing should dictate the behavior. That the blessing is so good, now on the back end, you want to behave in a different way than what you ever have before. And that's what we find going on in this letter. And the part that we pick up falls in the second half, the behavior part of this letter. And we pick it up in chapter 5, starting in verse 14. This morning, if you haven't done so already, it's a perfect opportunity for you to grab your weekly, again, that thing you got when you came in, to crack it open, and you'll find a notes page in there. You can follow along with us as we move through some text, as well as grab a pen from the seat back in front of you, and you can fill in the blanks. Everything will come up on the screen for you as well. But here is what Paul writes as a refresher in this small snippet about the rumble strips that God puts into every single one of our lives. He says this. This is why it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you life." You're falling asleep behind the wheel. It is so easy to drift off course. Wake up. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul is like, oh yeah, one more thing. And furthermore, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This very passage is Paul's attempt to give advance notification in light of imminent danger. It's Paul's attempt to give advance notification of imminent danger. Because what Paul knew is the same thing that your God and my God knew. And it was this. Is that we live a life that is not easy. We live a life that is far from safe on this earth. And we live in a world that is full of distractions. We live in a world that is full of imminent danger. And wouldn't it be helpful in this world as we look around right here, right now in 2021, and we cannot deny that fact that we live in a world full of imminent danger. Wouldn't it be nice if you had advance notification? Wouldn't it be nice if there was this system in place for your life and my life, for our futures, that allowed us to live a better life and allowed you to avoid the ditches and the cliffs that take you in a direction you were never meant to go. And here's the incredible part, is that because we have a God who desires that for us, he went to work. And he went to work at installing a system in every single one of us. From the time we were in our mother's womb and he saw our lives and how difficult they would be and how difficult of a road we would travel, he went to work on putting together this internal warning system in every single one of us, these internal rumble strips in us that allow us to stay on track. You see, when you think about a road, right, what you know is that nowadays they don't just create roads that have rumble strips on the outsides. Those are important for keeping you from the ditches and the cliffs and keeping you from the shoulders, but now they also create rumble strips on the inside of the road. Rumble strips that keep you from going into oncoming traffic. Rumble strips that keep you from crashing into the median. And both external and internal rumble strips are necessary for every single one of our lives in order for us to have the best futures possible. And God said, when he was knitting you together in your mother's womb, and I'm going to place an internal rumble strip inside of every single one of you that's going to help you in this journey called life to stay on the road. And that internal warning system that he gave us was this thing that we call our conscience. That this thing was placed inside of us as a voice to help direct us through life's most difficult twists and turns. And yet the reality is for many of us, the longer we journey through this thing called life, the more confusing our conscience can become. Like, what is our conscience? And do I even have a conscience? And so this morning, in order for us to fully move forward together and to adhere to this internal warning system that God has given us, we must first understand what God was up to and what purpose God had in giving us this conscience in our lives. You see, there are three simple things, and I'm going to kind of fly through these things really quickly that we know about our conscience and this internal warning system, these internal rumble strips that God has given us. The first is this, is that these things, this conscience that we all have, these internal rumble strips, they are something we all have. They're something we all have. Every single one of us in this room. And I believe this is so absolutely incredible. I believe this with all of my heart, that our conscience is actually one of the major things that points to us being created in the image of God. That our conscience is proof that we were created with something inside of us that was supposed to align us to the voice of God. And this conscience, it is unique to us as humanity. No other creature on earth outside of us as human beings operates with a conscience. Think about your dog. Y'all have been there, the moments where you have come home from some sort of trip and you left the loaf of bread on the countertop and your dog took liberty to jump up on the countertop and to eat the entire loaf of bread. And when you come home from that trip and you find the loaf of bread missing, what do you also find? You find your dog in some corner of the house, right, with its tail between its legs. And automatically we think, well, our dog is acting that way because they feel bad. Your dog ain't acting that way because it feels bad. Your dog is simply operating out of survival instincts. And it has its tail between its legs because it thinks you might kill me for eating the bread off the counter. You see, I still remember just a few months ago, my mom watches our two boys a couple times a week. And one afternoon, I was picking the boys up from mom's house, and on her counter was one of my, if not my favorite breakfast that my mother makes. She makes these pecan rolls, and it's like cornbread with syrup on top and full pecans across it. And my mom would be like, that is nothing what it is. I don't even know how to explain it. It's just a roll of goodness right there on the plate that's clogging your artery 1% at a time. But I absolutely love these things, and they were there on her countertop, and so I was picking up the boys. She's like, hey, why don't you take four of those? I made some extras. You can take them home with you, and you can have one for each of you and enjoy them. So we took them home, and it was the afternoon, and that night we had gone out together, and we come home, and what do we find? The Ziploc bag on the floor with no pecan rolls. And while the bag is laying there on the floor, Sully is nowhere to be found. And we go searching the house only to find him in the corner of a bedroom, sitting there shaking with his tail between the legs, because he is like, oh my goodness, I don't want the spanking that I'm going to get because I just ate Dad's favorite breakfast. You see, Sully didn't feel one bit bad. If the pecan rolls were there 1 hour later and we were gone, Sully would go back and he'd eat the pecan rolls again. He's purely operating out of survival instincts. But you and I, we operate off of something totally different. That when we are offered a choice, there is something internally inside of us that goes, nope, 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 nope. Bum, 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 bum. There's this internal rumble strip in every single one of us. And each of us, regardless of our upbringing, regardless of our current beliefs, we have this instilled in us from the time we were born. Paul makes it clear in his letter to the Romans. Check this out. He says, even Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know his law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. Our conscience, this internal warning system, is something that every single one of us was created with. But that internal warning system is also a quiet voice. You see, deep down, we want it to be a loud scream, but very rarely is that voice inside of us a loud scream. It is typically a gentle whisper. And all of us are like, God, why do you operate that way? Like, just shout it. Smack me over the forehead with a 2x4 and tell me, don't do that. You're going the wrong way. And God is like, no, 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 you don't understand. The reason that it's a quiet voice is this. What do you do when someone whispers at you? You lean in. You move closer. And God's saying, I love you too much and want a relationship with you too much to shout so that you can hear me from 100 meters away. No, I want to be in close proximity to you. And so my voice that aligns with your conscience is often going to be a gentle, quiet voice that forces you to lean in, to draw close so that you can hear it and act upon it accordingly. There's this incredible story in the Old Testament of one of God's prophets named Elijah. Elijah's going through some difficult circumstances. He's trying to figure out how to survive, how to operate, what the right decisions are. And Elijah scales the mountainside, and he goes up to the mountaintop to hear God's direction and God's voice. And there's all of these things happening around him, all of these loud things that are happening. Elijah thinks, well, God's got to be in that. God's got to be in this. Like, that's the mighty God I know. He's got to be in all those different things speaking to me. And what he finds is actually the contrary to that. Check this out in 1 Kings chapter 19. It says, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. but the Lord was not in the fire. Well, then where in the world was he? How is he speaking to me? And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. In our lives, God's voice usually speaks to us in a quiet, gentle whisper. We know that our conscience is something we all have. We know that it's a quiet voice. And then lastly, we know that our conscience is something that was given to us to try to hold us back from the imminent danger in our lives. Something given to us trying to hold us back from the imminent danger in our world. It's the very reason that Paul gives this warning in that passage, Ephesians 5:15. So be careful. Be careful. There is danger out there. There's danger in your life that's coming. There's danger in this world. So don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. But here's the misconception and the myth that we often buy into the longer we go in this life. You see, the longer we live on this earth, we slowly start to believe that our conscience is something inside of us that is holding us back from the best things in life. That small voice inside of me is the thing that's holding me back from all the fun I want to have. And we begin to think that the voice of God is really just a killjoy. And God is saying, well, haven't you learned yet that when you veer off the road and you crash into the ditch and you go off the cliffs of your life, that that's not a whole lot of fun? That there's not a whole lot of joy in your life in the cliffs and in the ditches? You see, what we fail to recognize is that God is trying to warn us of danger, not to kill our joy, but to allow us to experience real joy. That was his intention. That was his purpose. Because God knew a life lived with zero boundaries would eventually end up in the ditch. And the ditch is no way to live this life. He created our lives in this world with a natural way of doing something. One that Paul points out just a few verses earlier from the one we read in Romans. Check this out. In Romans chapter 2, verse 9, I love this picture that it puts in our minds. Paul writes this: but if you go against the grain, you get splinters. If you go against the grain, you get splinters. Paul is saying there is this natural grain that has been instilled in your life and in my life. There's this natural grain that's been instilled by God into this world. And when you try to go against the grain and create your own path and your own road, do you know what happens? You get those annoying, hurtful things that come into your life and you just can't get out. Hello. Who likes splinters? Who wants to deal with those? You see, in order for us to avoid those things in our life, it requires us to figure out how to stay on the grain, how to stay on the road that God has created us to travel. And doing that requires us to listen to that conscience. Listen to that internal warning system that God has given you and I. But here's what I know. You need more convincing. Why listen? What's the point? What does it do for me in my future, in my marriage, in my parenting? What benefit does it bring to my life? Why should I listen to the conscience that God has given me as this internal warning system in my life? Well, the first reason we should begin to listen is this, is because in our lives, the more you ignore it, the harder it is to hear it. You see, what did we say earlier? Our conscience is a quiet voice. But newsflash, it can and it will get quieter. Our conscience is a quiet voice, but when we stop listening to it, it will get quieter. In our lives, we fail to live according to the adage that if you don't use it, you'll lose it. I once saw this sign in a dentist's office. It said, stop paying attention to your teeth, and they'll leave. Yikes, right? See, but the same thing holds true to this internal warning system that we have in our lives. that when we stop listening to it and paying attention to it, eventually we stop recognizing that voice altogether. Eventually that conscience is like it gets cottered off. It gets sawed off and it's just dead and it no longer exists. It's the reason why Paul, years later, writes this warning to this young dude named Timothy who's just getting a start in ministry. He writes this warning in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, these people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. But this thing called your conscience, the more you don't listen to it, the less you hear it. And let's just get honest for a second. And I know this is going to scare some of us, but this is necessary. Every single one of us in this room have an enemy in our lives who doesn't play checkers. He plays chess. And he lives every single day trying to think six moves ahead of you and how to separate you from the voice of your king. And the way in which he goes about doing that in your life and in my life is this: to try to convince you that that little voice inside of you that's telling you, nope, 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 bump, 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 it's not that big of a deal to cross the line this time. It's not really going to hurt anybody. That little voice inside of you is just trying to keep you from having a whole lot of fun tonight. That's what that little voice is doing. And so just do it this time. It's not big of a deal. It's just one time. And as soon as you cross that line, you know what he begins to do? He goes to work on the next line. He begins to whisper lies in your life. And well, everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is crossed. Everybody else is way past this line, Ben. It's not that big of a deal for you to cross this one. And as soon as you cross that one, he goes to the next one and the next one and the next one until eventually the voice you hear consistently is the voice of your enemy, not the voice of your God. That's what he wants to do in our lives, in our futures, to throw us off track, off course, and to force us into places we were never meant to go. You see, the enemy knows that the rumble strip ignored always leads to the guardrail, and the guardrail ignored always leads to the cliff, and the cliff always leads to death. It always leads to the death of something precious, and that's his goal. I've come to kill and steal and destroy. If you're in a place where you feel like, I'm not sure if I even have a conscience or what my conscience is, the likely reason is that because we've stopped listening a long time ago. When we stop listening, it becomes harder to hear it. But the good news is, when we do start to listen to it and respond to it, the more you respond to it, the more you anticipate it. The more you respond to that voice that God has given inside of you, the more you anticipate the danger that is coming. The more you sense peace or a lack of peace in going this direction in your life. And I think oftentimes we miss this truth, that in our lives, that quiet voice often speaks in the form of peace. That when we don't have peace about a situation, it is God speaking into our life. Maybe this is the nope, 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 nope. It's the reason why Paul writes this: and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. The more we listen to those rumbles, the better we'll recognize it. And the more we recognize it, the more we anticipate what's coming in our future. We start to anticipate our tendencies. We anticipate our temptations. We anticipate what's going to happen because we look back on our life and we see the history of the times. I've gone down that road. I've done that. I've crossed that line, and I remember the consequences that happened because I crossed that line before, and now I'm not going to cross the line again. Because I don't want to experience those ditches again. Because I don't want to go off the cliff in my marriage. I don't want to go off the cliff in my finances. I want to avoid those things at all cost. And do you know what anticipation is? It's just a long word for wisdom. Being able to see what's coming, the dangers that are ahead, being able to anticipate what's ahead because you look at the mistakes you've made in your past and you course correct, that's wisdom. It's the very reason why Paul, in that passage, 5:15, we read it already, says, don't live as fools. If anticipation is wisdom, then what's being a fool? Not anticipating it. Not looking at your past and seeing the mistakes you've made and course correcting. Not staying as far away from the temptations that you know you are prone to give into in your future. We are called to listen to that voice, and it provides anticipation in our lives to live healthier from this day forward. We said earlier, the less you listen to it, the less you'll hear it. Well, guess what the flip side of that is? The more you listen to it, the less you'll hear it. Not because you don't recognize its voice, but because you keep putting yourselves in positions in which you are not going over the rumble strips. Hello? You started to live life in such a way in which you avoid the moments of temptation. You don't even go close to it. And so you stop hearing the rumble strips altogether, not because you've gone over them so many times, but because you stopped going over them in your life. It's the very reason why King Solomon, one of the wisest dudes to ever walk on this earth, he has this sit-down discussion with one of his sons, and he's warning him about, like, don't get involved with these kind of women. It ain't going to be good. Don't date them. Don't marry them. It's only going to bring ruin to your life. And he gives them this whole sit-down lecture about, here are the women you don't want to spend your time with. But Solomon doesn't stop at just that. He goes the last 10%, and he says, but it's not just about don't date them, don't marry them. What you also need to know is this. Check this out. In Proverbs chapter 5, he says, you should also stay the heck away from her. Don't even go near the door of her house. It's like King Solomon is saying, hey, if you want to live a healthier life, don't go to Dunkin' Donuts for your coffee. If you want to live a healthier life, you shouldn't go to Krispy Kreme to get your coffee in the morning. Find a place that only serves coffee. Stop dealing with temptations that you can eradicate from your life today. You do that by listening to that voice, anticipating, course correcting, and staying the heck away from those things in your life. And then lastly, maybe the best one of all, is that in our lives, the reason that we should listen to our conscience is because the easier it is to lead you, the more places you can be taken. The easier it is for God to lead us with that quiet, gentle whisper, the more places we can be taken. The wild horse that can't be trusted never gets out of the stall. The wild horse that is unsteady and you're unsure of what they will do doesn't get to go on the trail rides. Why? Because they are unsure of whether or not they will listen to the owner's voice. That if danger is coming and something different needs to be done, that they won't do what the owner tells them to do. But the steadfast, trusty horse that always listens to the owner and goes the direction that the owner is telling them, guess what? They get to go on all the rides. They get to go on all the adventures. Because the owner knows if something happens and I tell the horse to course correct and go here or turn there, what will the horse do? Exactly what I told him to do. For Krista and I, our youngest son, some of y'all know Brantley, he is our wild child. And very early on in the game with Brantley, we began to realize as we tried to live the same life we did when we were single people of going out to eat, we began to realize that our youngest son was incapable of being patient enough to wait 15 or 20 minutes in a sit-down restaurant for the food to come. And so because of that, we made the determination that that season of our life is effectively over, at least for a little bit. That to save our embarrassment, we can no longer go out to eat, and we are simply confined to the Carver family dinner table every single night. And if my three-year-old could understand me, I would love nothing more than to bend down and say, buddy, there's so much greater out there than the Carver family dinner table. There are things in this world that I want you to experience that you're missing out on. And I can't help but think that God looks at you and I and echoes the exact same thing. That, buddy, there are adventures in this world that I'm waiting to take you on. But when are you going to allow me to lead you? When are you going to listen to my voice? I believe with all of my heart that the world is waiting to watch a heart that is yielded to the voice of God. The world is waiting to watch someone who's so in tune to the voice of God that God leads them into great adventures that change this world. One middle school at a time, one high school at a time, one office place at a time, one neighborhood at a time. That the world is yearning for that. When will we be the people who are willing to lead where God's voice directs us and say, I want something better than the Carver family dinner table. I want better adventures than that. I want to see more than that. And in order to have that happen, I have to be led. And furthermore, let's just drop the bomb. The reality is if you can't be led, you can't be a good leader. Hello. Husbands, y'all okay? Parents, y'all okay? Bosses, y'all okay? If I'm not mature enough to be led, I can't lead my wife well. If I'm not mature enough to be led, I can't lead my kids well. I can't lead my staff well. We have to be people who are willing to listen so that we can be taken more places, greater places, on greater adventures. But Ben, help me out. How do I do that? I'll be the first one to admit I've been in the ditch. I feel like right now I'm about to drive off the cliff. How do I get the car back on the road? How do I start to listen to the voice? Because I'm not sure if I have a conscience anymore or not. I followed the wrong voice for far too long. And here's what I believe with all of my heart, that getting back on the road is simply done one inch at a time. You ever been there before where you're going off the road and you try to jerk the car all at once? What happens? You lose control. That God's calling us just one inch, one small step at a time to put ourselves back on track, to veer back onto the road he created us to live. And the way we do that is through two simple steps. First is this. If it's a quiet voice, then we have to find time to be quiet. Then in order for us to hear a quiet voice, we have to have time in our lives and in our schedules in which we stop talking. And so what would it look like this week to say, that sounds ridiculously uncomfortable, Ben, but I want to get the car back on the road, and so I'm willing to give 5 minutes. 5 minutes of getting quiet and putting before God, God, here's an area of my life I don't know which way to go. I don't know what's right. I don't know what's wrong. Would you help me? And I'm just going to sit and be quiet. And secondly, we ask the difficult question. What is it in your life where you are ignoring that conscience? What is the one area of your life in which you have been ignoring that God-given voice inside of you? For some of us, it may be something we're doing that we're not supposed to do. For others of us, it may be something we are not doing that we should be doing. And we ask that question, as difficult as it may be, and then we respond to the answer of that question. That we begin to listen to that voice and make the necessary corrections. Why? Because God loved us so much to give us that internal warning system for a reason. And the reason is this. Because your life is destined for far greater than what you're presently living. But doing that requires you to stay on the road. To hear the rumble strips, stop, 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 stop. And to steer back and to travel the path that he created you and I to travel on. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning, God, we thank you for what a great God you are. We thank you for being a God who loved us enough to see the difficulties of this world, the difficulties of our lives, and to create us, form us in our mother's womb with this internal warning system that is unique to us as humanity, that aligns with your voice and helps keep us on track, but only if we choose to listen, only if we choose to course correct, only if we're willing to be led by it. And so, God, this week, for myself, for every single one of us in this room, may we get better at realizing that voice is not a voice from you to be a killjoy. It's a voice from you to give us real joy. Real joy that only comes from staying on the road. God, we want that. We need that. And so may we start to course correct one inch, one step at a time. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. This morning, as we dismiss, I want to leave you with two challenges. The first is this. Those two simple steps that I gave you of how you begin to get back on course of listening to that internal warning system, to write that down and to do it this week. To not let this week pass without trying those two things out. Just try it out. Give it a week. Give it 2 weeks. And let those things work in your life, in your marriage. And begin to listen a little closer. Second challenge is this. We're going to hit you every single week as hard as we can, because we believe with all of our heart that the opportunity is great this Easter. That with that card, we challenged you to this last week, that you don't allow another week to pass without taking the courageous step of reaching out and inviting somebody in your life to be here on Easter weekend, to experience something different, to experience something that's different than any other church that they've probably been to in their life or walked away from in their life before, to experience something that we believe with all of our hearts has the potential to change their story, to change their life, and to change their eternity. And so we're asking you this week to take that card and every card that you've gotten and to begin to invite people to be here on Easter for Easter at Core. Next week, we're continuing with part 3. And this week, we talked about the internal rumble strips. Next week, we're going to talk about the external rumble strips that we're called to have in our lives. And it's going to be a message that rocks your world. You do not want to miss it. And so we would love to have you back next week as we continue with part 3. Again, thanks so much for being here this morning. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Hope to see you soon.